almost impossible to find anywhere else, so be prepared to be surprised. There is a cliché about anthologies, and clichés become clichés because they are true, that compares them to a good party, where you see old friends and meet new ones. The range of subjects and styles may be surprising, ranging from truly chilling to heartwarming to hilarious to puzzling. This is no accident, of course, since genuinely talented authors have their own voices, and like snowflakes, no two are alike, though to be fair, no one has ever proven that this is true of snowflakes, nor are they likely to do so anytime soon. Christmas has, for good reasons, been a time for a greater amount of reading than most other times of the year. In times long past, when families and friends gathered, entertainment was more limited than it is nowadays. Wealthier families had musical instruments, and it was common for young ladies especially to enhance their list of accomplishments by playing a pianoforte, harpsichord, or other music-making device. But a group-friendly entertainment that cut across most socioeconomic strata was reading aloud from a book. And there was no better time than when the seemingly endless workday was shuttled aside for a while. Today, books remain one of the most popular gift items at Christmas, so the valued tradition of books and reading remains an integral part of the season. There are tales between these covers that would make especially worthy read-aloud pleasures for groups of neighbors, family, and friends to enjoy together. Go ahead, gather everyone near the Christmas tree, hand out some sweets and the appropriate liquid refreshment, find a comfortable chair, and read aloud Stanley Ellen's Death on Christmas Eve or Mary Roberts Reinhardt's The Butler's Christmas Eve. It may not be better than watching A Christmas Carol or It's a Wonderful Life on television, but it will be the kind of evening that will be talked about with fond memories for years to come. And if anyone fails to fully appreciate the joys of this gentle, old-fashioned activity, why then, you can just beat them to death. Otto Penzler, Christmas, 2024, New York. Mystery for Christmas, Anthony Boucher. Anthony Boucher, the pseudonym of William Anthony Parker White, 1911-1968, better known under the pseudonyms he used for his career as a writer of both mystery and science fiction, had numerous other accomplishments. Under his real name, as well as under his pseudonyms, he established a reputation as a first-rate critic of opera and literature, including general fiction, mystery, and science fiction. He was also an accomplished editor, anthologist, playwright, and an eminent translator of French, Spanish, and Portuguese, becoming the first to translate Jorge Luis Borges into English. His detective novels were published in the 1930s and 1940s, beginning with The Case of the Seven of Calvary, 1937, which was followed by four novels featuring Los Angeles private detective Fergus O'Brien, including The Case of the Crumpled Knave, 1939, and The Case of the Baker Street Irregulars, 1940. As H.H. Holmes, he wrote two novels in which an unlikely detective, Sister Ursula of the Sisters of Martha Bethany, assists Lieutenant Marshall of the Los Angeles Police Department. 9x9, 1940, and Rocket to the Morgue, 1942, which was selected for the Haycraft Queen Definitive Library of Detective Crime Mystery Fiction. As Boucher, he served as the longtime mystery reviewer of the New York Times, 1951-1968, with 852 columns to his credit, and Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, 1957-1968. He was one of the founders of the Mystery Writers of America in 1946. The annual World Mystery Convention is familiarly known as the BoucherCon in his honor, and the Anthony Awards are also named for him. Murder for Christmas was originally published in the January 1943 issue of Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine. It was first collected in Exeunt Murderers, Carbondale, Illinois, Southern Illinois University Press, 1983. Mystery for Christmas, Anthony Boucher. That was why the Benson Jewel robbery was solved, because Aram Malekian was too much for Mr. Quilter's temper.